Greetings and welcome to the Ohio State 360 podcast. We're going to be joined this week by Lori Walker Hawk, who is in her 27th year as the head coach of the Buckeyes. You could call her the dean of Buckeye coaches. Anyway, that's a compliment. Coach, we appreciate your time. How you doing on this warm, as we tape, September afternoon?
Oh, it's been a beautiful September. We're doing really well and just getting better every day.
Let me ask you about that, because your team starts, obviously, in August with practice. You're a handful of games in now. So I'm guessing there's some practice before school kicks in. Do you like that? Are there challenges? What's your take on that?
Yeah, so our season actually starts August 1st every year, so we're the first team officially back on campus, and it's great. You know, we've been here most of the summer, like football and basketball, women's soccer is on campus, and but we're not allowed to coach them. So they're lifting weights, they're playing on their own, they're doing their conditioning. But, you know, August 1st, we get to roll the ball out and start to see what we're made of. So it's been a really productive summer, as well as, you know, the beginning of our season in August and now into September.
Like I said, a handful of games already. And as we tape this, you're about to play a home game with Ohio. You've got a huge game Sunday. We invite you all to come on out to the Jesse Owens for that. It's a noon game with Auburn. But what have you seen thus far, and what do you need to continue to see as you hone in for Big Ten play?
Yeah, so we've got a fairly young team this year. We graduated 8 seniors last year, and so, you know, we have players that are stepping up into new roles. You know, we've welcomed in 10 new freshmen, and so we're seeing some freshmen playing in some key spots on the field, and so that's been super exciting. But, you know, it's been a lot of detail management and, you know, giving some time for our new leadership to step in. Peyton McNamara was off with Jamaica at the beginning of August in the World Cup. So, you know, she wasn't with us at the very beginning of preseason. So we've been working her back off of a serious jet lag from Australia and, you know, just finding our rhythm and our routine.
I mentioned your time at Ohio State. Do you still like that challenge of getting a young crop in and then having to gel them with the veterans? Is that still a challenge for you, even in nearly 30 years as a head coach?
It is. I mean, I enjoy coaching now more than I really ever have. And it's
why is that? Yeah.
Well, I say the beauty of coaching really is that every year it's different. There's never 2 years that are the same. Even, you know, when you have a large group of players returning, you know, it's always a different dynamic. We've got program standards, but then each team has this responsibility to develop their own identity. And sometimes that takes a little bit longer than others. And, you know, what I'm finding right now is that our seniors are a result of the COVID freshman year. They're a little unsure of their leadership choices and how they can step up and lead. Whereas the freshmen are coming in and they missed their freshman year in high school. And so they're super excited and they're really adjusting well and gelling well as a group. So you're sort of seeing the whole COVID process really at work on this particular team.
Tell me about the captains you've named recently on this team.
Yeah. So, you know, we waited a little bit again to name our captains until, you know, a couple emerged from our leadership committee. Every year we've got a group of leaders that is represented by sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And then, in particular, these three have really separated themselves. Nina LaFleur is a fifth year with us and just has a wonderful leadership voice. Her presence off the field is really impeccable. She just is a person who really knows what she believes in and how she wants to really lead herself and present herself. So I think she's just a perfect captain to sort of hold that standard really high, especially with a young team, just to show them how to do all those little things off the field properly. And then you've got Peyton McNamara, who is four years with us, but she's got a COVID year, so she'll be returning for her fifth year next fall. And as I said, she just came off the World Cup. Very experienced player. She plays as our playmaker, either in the 6 role or the 10 role at center mid. And, you know, it's just very dynamic in how she plays. I think as a leader, she's still trying to find her voice. You know, she's very demanding of herself, but I think learning how to be demanding of others, you know, is a little bit of a learning curve. And then Sydney Jones is a junior with us and has a tremendous amount of experience. She's playing at center back for us right now. She's also played outside back. She's been part of the youth national programs in the United States. So just a really good group. They balance each other well. Sydney probably is the largest voice on the field that we hear. Peyton's really the doer on the field. And then, you know, Nina really just holds all the standards really high. So I think it's a nice combination, you know, of those three.
You mentioned the World Cup. It wasn't the only former Buckeye or current Buckeye to participate. You had a couple of alums there as well, and I'm interested to get your take on what you drew from Peyton's time playing for Jamaica.
Yeah, so Peyton and Tiffany Cameron were both on that Jamaican national team, and you know they had a lot of firsts. They had their first win, they had their first advance in the tournament, you know, and then their last game, they ended actually Marta's career with Brazil, so they beat Brazil to advance. So it was really exciting for them, and it's a neat thing as a coach to watch because Tiff Cameron is, you know, in her 30s and she's still playing, and you know was part of our 2010. Big Ten championship team here and the team that went to the Final Four, and to see her now continuing to play, you know, and sort of be on the back end of her career. I think she's only got a couple years left to play, but she's really at the top of her game. You know, and then Peyton joining that team, she came in off the bench. You know, she's the future of that team, but she's really learning how to, you know, play at that speed in the midfield. And at the international level, midfielders cover a lot of ground and have a lot of responsibility. So, you know, she came in, and I think in her last game there, she was on the field for about 30 minutes. And then Nichelle Prince also is playing for Canada. So she was out most of last year with an Achilles tear. And so she came back and was ready for that World Cup. So sitting at home, I was up early several mornings. You know, I saw 2, 3 a.m. a couple of times just watching, you know, our players play and really enjoying the international flavor of the World Cup.
Let's stay with the World Cup. Lori, in your time, not only as a coach and at Ohio State, but just as the game has grown, the young women that play in this and how you've seen it mature and just become a real staple, I think, for those of us that enjoy sports and are able to put a lot of investment, especially in Team USA and what's going on wherever they might be playing.
Yeah, the game is in a wonderful place right now, and I know that American fans are pretty disappointed in the performance of the United States, and I think there's a lot of people disappointed in how they've sort of carried themselves, but I think maturity is the right word. I think the U.S. women's team is trying to learn how to mature into being true professionals. I mean, many of those women are making a lot of money. And so learning how to balance what their responsibility off the field and on the field, I think it's a challenge. I think it's something that's going to take time to learn. I think they have to put some of their personal agendas aside and really focus on what that team needs to do. Again, there's program standards, and over the years, it's been a win forever mentality with the U.S. women's national team. But now you're sort of seeing these personal agendas leak into the team, and I never felt that this particular team for the U.S. had its proper identity. They were sort of all over the map, and they just never gelled. So in an international scene, I think it's super exciting. You know, you've got England, who is really supporting a wonderful professional league and matching basically what the men have had for many, many decades with the EPL. And then, you know, to watch Spain move forward the way they did, and with all the adversity they had going on in their camp, to you know, play such beautiful soccer and really show what Spain has always been known for. It's a very Barcelona-esque style, and they kept the ball and they really moved through the tournament with exquisite personality. So to watch them win in the final, it's just I think it's a wonderful thing to see other countries emerging and being paid properly and getting the support that they need around the world.
Coach, you talk about an agenda and having your mind right going into a team competition like that. Can that be a teaching tool for your current edition of Buckeyes?
Well, I mean, we're really clear about that. You know, it's in my world and the way I manage our teams, this has been forever. This is long before, you know, social justice issues came to the surface. It's always been, you know, game day is about the team. It's not about any one individual. And, you know, we all should have things that we stand for off the field. We all have things that are passionate to our heart, and we encourage that. But, you know, when it comes down to time to be a team player, you know, you got to put that crest on, and whatever it is, whether it's an Ohio State logo or it's a, you know, a national team logo, you know, have that pride and have your roots in the right place so that you know what you're out there representing, because it's always bigger than yourself. And, you know, I think there's a bit of a lack of leadership with the U.S. women's national team. That's all changed, and I'm hoping they're going to move in a better direction. But for us, game day has always been about the team. It's never about one individual and, you know, what anybody's personal agendas are. So I've been fortunate here over the years. It's, you know, even through difficult times, it's been really clear as to how we approach every single game day.
Hey, Buckeye fans, did you know the Kroger app gives you easy access to weekly sales, personalized coupons, and fuel points too? Check out the app today and save while you get ready for game day. Kroger, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Lori Walker-Hawk is our guest, the head women's soccer coach at Ohio State. 29th year as a head coach, 27 of them at Ohio State. We'll get back to that a little bit more. I want to ask you about a couple of young ladies on your squad that, well, Emma Sears, for example, She was your leading scorer last year. She opted not to take her fifth year, but now she's back. Can you give us a little bit more on her background, her story, and what she's giving you this year?
Yeah, so, you know, it's always a hard thing with the COVID year because players have that extra year of eligibility, but maybe they didn't intend to use it or plan on it. You know, some had jobs already set up. You know, some weren't sure if they wanted to do a master's. And in Emma's case, you know, she made some decisions off the field relative to where she was in her personal life. And, you know, we supported that. And, you know, we knew she had that extra year. It's always hard to watch a player of her caliber, you know, move on. And then she got away from the game and, you know, was gone all spring and really missed it. And so the beauty of Emma returning, she was in the stands actually for our first two games. And she showed up at the office. She's like, I just really miss it. And I was like, well, we would love to have you back. And, you know, the beauty when you have a player that's been away, they come back with just a different level of appreciation and Emma's gratitude and like the humble presence that she brings right now. It's really refreshing and she just appreciates every single thing that's happening you know, is really putting in every single minute of training to be her best again. And so, you know, she was away from the game for about 8 months. It's taking her a little bit of time to get back, but her athletic tools are just, are very special. They're God given tools. And so they'll come back pretty quick, but, having her presence back around the team is just great. It's some senior leadership that we really needed.
Your fine SID, Gary Petta, also drops the name Kina Flotra. Apparently you're going to get her back as well this weekend, correct?
Yeah. So Kina as well, you know, had some, you know, personal reasons to step away from the game and you know, has had some health problems with her lower legs and some injuries over the last couple of years. And, you know, she stepped away and now is back and, you know, has the biggest smile on her face and training every day. It's just, I joke with her, hey, stop smiling, because she just is enjoying every single minute. No matter how hard practice is, she just loves it. And so, you know, I think it's the old, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And so I think in both cases, these players really missed it. And so we're getting two pieces of senior leadership back that'll really help our young team. You know, Kina plays in the middle of the park for us, and a combination with her, with Peyton McNamara, it's just a ton of experience that, you know, we've missed a little bit along the way. And so we're still trying to give both of these players time to, you know, get their sea legs and be completely ready for game pace. But just really great additions to training and, you know, hopefully they'll be ready to go this weekend.
You mentioned the COVID time and having to deal with some eligibility or years left in terms of that. Has that been a topic of conversation with you and other coaches there? And I guess beyond that, is there somebody within the athletic department as a current coach that you can fight in kind of these topics and situations beyond that NIL and others?
Well, apparently I'm the longest standing head coach in the department. So I think everybody,
they come to you.
I definitely don't have all the answers. So, you know, what I would say about COVID is it's been interesting, but this is the best way to describe it. And I know there's a lot of youth players and youth parents out there that will make sense of this. So, you know, if you look at our 10 freshmen that came in, they were playing under 18 soccer this summer. And, you know, then their first two games out of the gate, they're basically playing under 23. And so it's a massive step to have, you know, 22 and 23 year old players on your roster. We were fortunate to have it last year where we had fourth, fifth year seniors and grad students. And, you know, this year they've all left and now we just have one or two. So it just depends on where everybody's rosters were at the time. But, you know, to go from U18 up to U23, it's a massive jump. And so, you know, the speed of play, the way things are happening, it's all happening a lot faster. But, you know, I think every program has navigated that as well as they can. And, you know, we're fortunate that there's a lot of creative ways for players to be able to remain and stay because we weren't given any additional scholarships. That was, you know, we had to stay within our budget and manage that as best as we could. So, you know, it's been interesting and it's great when you're on the older side of that. And I think we're now on the younger side and it's a little bit more challenging.
Thoughts on the portal? Yay, nay, indifferent. Do you use it much? Where are you on that?
Well, I think the release of the portal in relation to COVID with everybody having these extra years is why it's been so out of control. I think in a year it's going to settle down and you're just going to have the normal transferring. You're going to have the normal, you know, fifth year senior who blew out an ACL and has this extra year and wants to go to grad school. So I think that the portal opening up when it did in relation to all these athletes from various places having an additional year just made it really out of control. The part I don't like about it is I think that players' capacity to struggle through things and come out the other side is a lot shorter now. People are unhappy, so they just, you know, pack up and they leave. And I just don't think that's a healthy way to live life. I think we learn a lot more from ourselves when we struggle through things and, you know, we come out the other side. I mean, it's, you know, part of our team philosophy, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And, you know, when players are in that uncomfortable place, sometimes they don't see the light. And, you know, it might take a whole year to get adjusted to the speed and the fitness that's required to play at this level. So I think in certain cases, it's too easy of an out. In other cases, I think, you know, a player makes the wrong choice, and it's great that they have the opportunity to go and play someplace else. You know, I actually tried to do that my last year after I left North Carolina, and basically I was going to have to transfer in as an undergrad and lose, you know, a whole year of eligibility. So I like to see the fact that that's been adjusted, and there is a way to be able to do that and, you know, play at a different place. So I think there's pluses and minuses.
Lori, is the growth of the game locally, female or male, is it as strong right now as seemingly I can remember in a long time here?
Well, I think we're in a great soccer community here in Central Ohio, and you know, with what's happening with the Columbus Crew and that new stadium and the way they've been selling out game by game by game. And, you know, it's just a wonderful place to be. If you love soccer, you can watch high level soccer, and coming out and watching, you know, our men's team, our women's team, you know, you've got every various level here within a driving distance of about an hour. So I think it's a wonderful time to be a soccer fan. And I think it's a great product, right? I mean, our games are free. Parking is free. I can't tell you how much a Coke costs, but it is a great family atmosphere and a family environment. If you've got young people that are playing the game, it's a perfect place to come out and let them interact with college players that are playing in the World Cup. So I think it's a pretty exciting time to be here and be a Buckeye fan.
We're just a couple of wins away from 300 in your career. Have you thought about that?
Well, you know, I keep that in perspective because my college coach got 1,000. So I still feel like I am really on the beginning of my career when you compare yourself to what my college coach has done. So I still like to think I'm super young in my college career. But, you know, it's a testament to all the players and the people that have supported our program over the years. I don't think about it much. You know, it's just it's a nice milestone. But, you know, really, it's just focusing day to day what's happening here and, you know, just trying to get this young Buckeye team a little better every day.
Can you think back on when you started or when you got going there and the facilities and now the improvement? And we're going to talk about Gene Smith here in a moment, but just where the situation has changed with how you can recruit and where you play and how you guys eat and how you train with the training table. What is that like for you as you've watched it now over nearly three decades progress?
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing what we have at our disposal. And, you know, again, it's a testament to the support that we get from our donors, our alumni, and really the vision of our leadership. And, you know, what these athletes have at their disposal, it makes being successful very easy, and it makes it super hard to fail. I think the greatest addition that I've seen in the most recent time is really not the building. The building's amazing, but it's the sports science that really helps to narrow in and train these athletes on their edge. And so it's much easier to, you know, hit that sweet spot with how much do they need, especially in an aerobic sport like ours. It's easy to overtrain. But I think the sports science and all the technology that comes along with that, the catapult, the polar, all the wearable devices that our student athletes have on their bodies, the Aura rings that they sleep with. It's just, there's so much information that helps, you know, tune them in and give them the best opportunity to be the best version of themselves. You know, the food, the convenience of everything, the high quality experience that they have, the equipment and just the facilities. I mean, it's pretty unreal. And we feel very fortunate. It really is a testament to the donors and the people that have given up part of their own personal treasures to help make us better.
Few more minutes with Lori Walker-Hawk coming up. But hey, Buckeye fans, first, whether you're stocking up for your tailgate party or just inviting a few friends over to watch the game, the Kroger app is an easy way to get all the great food and drinks for game day. Kroger, fresh for everyone. You and your coaching staff, you've just elevated Gavin McLeod to associate head coach. That happened about a week ago or so. You now have two associate head coaches and also added Shane Locke as an assistant over the summer. Could you talk a bit about them, what the camaraderie is like, and how important that is for you guys?
Yeah, my staff has done a wonderful job, you know, both on the field and then off the field in the area of recruiting and then just player development. You know, when you have two coaches who have the capacity to be associate head coaches, basically what that means is I have two head coaches on my staff. And so between the three of us, all the details are covered, you know, elevating Gavin to the same status where Brian has been for the last couple of years is really a testament to what he's contributed, you know, off the field with his recruiting and his keen eye for identifying talent. You know, they're both really fantastic fathers. They're just wonderful human beings, and you know, they just bring a great energy to our program. We did add Shannon Locke in the offseason. She was here as our volunteer coach this past year, and then with some legislative changes, she was going to be our third assistant. And then Duncan Johnson, who was with me for 9 years, he took a job in the banking world, and we elevated Shannon into our director of operations, and she's also allowed to do some coaching because we didn't fill that third coaching position. And Shannon comes in with a wealth of experience. She was an associate head coach at Arkansas State, and you know, in her own right, has just got a wonderful coaching voice. She coaches here locally in the Ohio Premier Club system. So, you know, I've just got a great staff around me. You know, I had to step away during preseason for some personal reasons, and they really carried the boat. I was gone for about 6 days, and I knew my team was in great hands, and you know, they've just done a wonderful job. So I just feel fortunate that I've got great people surrounding me that help me do my job every day.
Lori, following the Auburn game, you get into league play. Give us a thought or two as you look ahead to Big Ten play.
Yeah, so I mean, the conference this year is unbelievably strong and very deep with talent. So, you know, I couldn't tell you who a top three or four is going to be in the conference. I think it's a huge toss up. And so, you know, you've got just to take every game by game. We don't play everyone, and so that always makes it a little bit of a challenge. There's three teams that we don't play, but we start out with Michigan State in a single game up at Michigan State, and they are a very big improved program. And so he's used the transfer portal to his advantage and really brought in a lot of older players and changed the culture of that program pretty quick. So, you know, we just start out with that one out of the gate, and then, you know, it's a marathon from here out for the next 6-8 weeks. So there's no easy game in the Big Ten. Every team is stacked with talent and older players. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, but it's the exciting time. And, you know, it's last year, I think there were six teams tied in sort of that 3-4-5 range at the end of the season. And so it's always sort of a quagmire of great talented teams.
Travel in the league. Do you have a thought on that with what's coming? UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington, or is that for other people above you to try to figure out?
Yeah, I heard that was going to happen. That's that's going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, we actually knew before we finished our schedule this past year, and that's one of the reasons we scheduled to go out to Montana, was just to, you know, get our young team sort of used to traveling through time zones and then having to come back and you know, still be professional about how we approach our rest and recovery. So, I mean, we are welcoming some unbelievably talented soccer teams. I mean, UCLA won the women's national championship last year over the University of North Carolina and in just a very dramatic fashion, took the game to overtime. So that's a super talented team. USC in its own right is extremely talented. They've won a national championship. So you're adding two right there that are, you know, going to help elevate the Big Ten to just world-class status. And then, you know, with Washington and Oregon, those are also two teams that have done well at different times in their history. So it's going to be interesting, right? I think the challenge of putting that kind of stress on your body as a soccer player will be something we're just going to all have to deal with. And so it opens the footprint up for recruiting. We've always been a place that recruits nationally and internationally, but I think other teams in the Big Ten, it's going to give them opportunities to get into that West Coast, you know, very rich, fertile soccer traditions with the youth players in that area. So I think it just opens it all up. So, you know, I've seen a lot in my time. This one probably is up there with COVID, as you know, who knows how it's all going to go, but it's going to go. So we just adjust and adapt and do our best.
Final two topics. Gene Smith will retire next summer. Your thoughts on him as the leader, as the person. You've gone through a couple of ADs now, so credit for you for that. Not everybody can say that, but that is wonderful, and just what he's meant to you, your program, the university.
Well, I was part of the search committee that hired Gene Smith. And, you know, I remember saying to him, are you sure you really want this job? Because it's enormous. And he laughed. And then we circled back on that probably 6 months into the job. And he shook his head. He's like, I think I understand a little bit more what you were saying. I mean, it is a massive undertaking for anyone. And again, I think for any great leader, when they surround themselves with other really strong people and personalities, it helps make their job better. And so, you know, when Gene elevated Janine Ullman to the SWA position and she's sort of been his right hand for the last few years. I just think it helps to take some pressure off of him. But, I mean, he is doing so many things. He's got his hands in so many areas. But the thing that I have the most respect for him is just his consistent stance on equity in women's soccer, in all the women's sports, making sure that Title IX is followed properly and making sure that women are represented at the table. So I've got a lot of respect for what he's done in that area. And, you know, I think he has certainly been worked to the bone and deserves a little bit of personal time. So he has put up amazing facilities and raised a ton of money, and he has given these student athletes so much over his time here that, you know, it's going to be some big shoes for the next person to have to fill.
No question. I'll leave you with this, and maybe you're a little bit in the lower echelon with a chance to enjoy a football Saturday tailgate opportunity because you're in the fall as well, and you're going to be busy around game days. I get that, but home games. But for your program, for the recruiting, for what you guys do each and every Buckeye Home Football Saturday, can you kind of put that into a capsule for us as to the women's soccer time around Ohio Stadium when they're playing football?
Yeah, so it's a fun, exciting day. You know, we always joke when we're out there practicing, you know, like this Saturday where we'll be on the field at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and there'll be buzz all around us. We always joke that it's there for us in our training session, but it's a refreshing aura around all of Ohio State athletics. And, you know, I always try and think back to my very first time going into Ohio Stadium and, you know, the pomp and circumstance. And every time we take a recruit in, just seeing it through their eyes as to how electric it is when the band comes down and, you know, when the band, everybody cheers and, you know, we all sing Carmen, Ohio. I mean, I think it's just it's a fantastic atmosphere. And I know around the country, there's a lot of programs that have their special game day routines, but I just think Buckeye Nation really supports their team in an amazing way. And you know, it's just something I'm very proud of to be a part of. And I don't go to as many games now as maybe I once did. But every time that I do get in the stadium, it's just it's electric, and it feels like the first time.
Lori Walker-Hawk, one of the best to ever do it at Ohio State in her 27th year as the women's soccer head coach. Thanks for your time on the podcast. We appreciate it. And all the best as this year continues, Lori.
Thank you so much. Go Bucks.